You know, when I read that, say exactly what I tell you to say it, you'll find that in Daniel. Jeremiah 1 in the Message Bible. You'll find that God gave me that the day Pastor Ed and I, or I should say the day Ed Funstein and I were ordained and became pastors. He gave me that morning. But when the first time I said it, I started thinking about pulling punches. Well, that's a boxing term. When they used to, I'm not going to say they do it today because I'm not into boxing today. But they used to, the outcome was planned before the fight began. But to put on a good show, the guy would throw a punch, but he would pull the punch so you wouldn't feel the full force of it and would allow you to win. So I'm thinking as a pastor, if I don't say things the way God told me to say it, I'm opening and creating an environment for the enemy to win. So I can't pull any punches. You have to get the full force of what God wants to say so you can experience the victory that you already have. 1 John 5:13 to 15 in the Amplified. Did I write this to you who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the name of the Son of God in the particular services and blessings conferred by him on men, so that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have life, yes, eternal life. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions, say present possessions, the request made of him. Now, in all of the words in that passage, two popped out, really exploded out at me. Said, and since we positively know, didn't say, and since we know, we positively know. What does that mean? Positively means independent of changing circumstances. That means you know. And it doesn't matter what's going on. You know, and what you know is not going to change because of what you're going through. It said, we positively know. That means no matter what's going on, we know. Just like you know, you're not going to sit on that plane saying, we're going to crash. You're going to sit down, probably start praying in the Holy Ghost while you go through rough air. First time I went through rough air, I wasn't a Christian, and it freaked me out. Because I'm thinking, we're in air. How can you have rough air? So we need to understand that positively means independent of changing circumstances. You are positive, absolutely positive about a thing, and it's immune to circumstances. We're going out, yeah, but it's raining, so what? I remember being a child, there was this park right at the end of 140th Street and Rockaway Boulevard that we liked to go to, and mommy was going to let us go, but it started raining. And so we're walking around the house pouting. She said, what's the matter? I said, we can't go to the park, it's raining. She said, why not? I said, it's raining. You ever been to the beach? Yeah, we've been to the beach. Did you get wet? Yeah. Go to the park. So we went to the park. The day you're sitting the children to the park, they come back, But the other word, it says, we know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. Present possessions. What does present mean? It means now, being, existing, or occurring at this time, current. But I found another definition. Listen to this one. Present is noting an action or state occurring at the moment of speaking or writing. That means the moment God says something, it happens. The moment he speaks something, it happens. The moment he signs off on it, it's done. Why is that important? Because we act like it's not done. This is the source of our confidence. We know that no matter what's going on, our prayers are granted the moment God speaks. And since he's already spoken some things, why are we praying about it? We're praying about things that are already done. We have what he said we have, and we can do what he said we can do right now. We don't have to look for it, call for it, pray for it, believe for it. We have it because God said so. That has to be our confidence. That is the basis of our faith. God said it. That settles it. Look at Mark 11, 23 and 24 in the Living Bible. In reply, Jesus said to the disciples, if you only have faith in God, this is the absolute truth. You can say to this Mount of Olives, rise up and fall into the Mediterranean, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe you have it, it's yours. If you believe you have it, it's yours. If you believe, well, I guess it's going to come, it's not yours. Believe you have it. Why? Because God said so. We have to get to the place that where all that matters is God said so. Period. He's already scoped it out. He's already analyzed everything that needs to be analyzed. And he spoke. Done. Look at Acts 3. First six verses in the Passion Translation. One afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer. As they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth. Crippled how long? Being carried and placed at the entrance to the temple. He was often brought there to beg for money from those going into worship. Folks, these are undisputed facts. The man was crippled from birth. That's a fact. He couldn't walk. People had to carry him wherever he wanted to go. Those are facts. When he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Why? He didn't have any. I found it interesting, he didn't beg for healing. Because he didn't know, because he had accepted facts. He accepted, I've been this way since I was born. I don't know any other way, but I can't make a living not being able to walk, so I got to beg. When he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Peter and John, looking straight into his eyes, into the eyes of the crippled man, said, "Look at us." Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. Then Peter said, "I don't have money. But I'll give you this. by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Why would he say that? What, is he making fun of the man? They saw him being carried and placed. They knew he couldn't walk. Those are undisputed facts. But he had something, meaning Peter, had something else to consider. Mark 16. King James Version, starting at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs might follow. These signs shall follow. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Peter and John paid attention to that. They paid no attention to the fact that this was a lame man looking for money. They didn't have any money. So they couldn't fulfill that desire, even if they wanted to. But what they did have was the name of Jesus, in which they placed all their faith, all their confidence. They knew when they used the name of Jesus, they have it now. Now. So their focus was on what Jesus said, because when Jesus said it was done. Then Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly power surged into his crippled feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment, stunned. I can't believe I'm standing. And then began to walk around. As he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was the crippled beggar they had passed by in front of the beautiful gate. Astonishment swept over the crowd, for they were amazed over what had happened to him. Folks, when Peter released those faith-filled words, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, that power flooded into that man, and the facts were driven out. They were replaced by truth. Say, well, facts are true things that happened. They may be true, it may have truly happened, but it's not the truth. You receive a diagnosis, the diagnosis is true, but it's not the truth. We have to learn to operate based on the truth, not just of what is true, it's facts, our facts, whichever word is correct. And it becomes very important that we do that, because we're surrounded by facts. And we consider them the moment God tells us to do something. We don't see ourselves doing what God said. We start looking at the facts surrounding what he said. I want you to go to this nation. How am I going to get there? Start walking. What if I get to the sea? Start swimming. But the key is, you have to stop thinking about facts and operate in faith. We read something in Romans 4:19, talking about Abraham. It said about Abraham that his faith was so strong it could not be undermined by facts. We need to understand that. Our faith needs to be at the point where facts don't matter. Why not? Because you're in faith. And faith doesn't say you will have it. Faith says you have it. Faith is present tense. You have it now. You have it now. You have it now. And we need to start acting like that. See, faith doesn't get intimidated. When Jesus went to the Mount, the air of the Gadarenes, and he encountered that demon-possessed man, he had already called the demon out of that man. And Jesus said to him, "What's your name?" The Passion Translation says, "Mob," because there are thousands of us. Jesus is like, oh my Father. There are thousands of them in here. No wonder they didn't come out. Jesus didn't even respond to that. Why? He had already called it out. And they said, well, send us into the pigs. Go. And they went. And the pigs said, we don't want them. We'd rather kill ourselves. A quarter of $1 million worth of pork perished. That's what it said. That would have been by today it would have been about $250,000. That's a quarter of $1 million. And the people, that's why you need to stay focused on God. The people didn't throw a celebration that this man was made free of these thousands of demons. They were upset because they lost the profits from those pigs. So they said, Jesus, will you please leave our area? And I thought interesting, Jesus didn't say, no, I'm staying. He did what he told his disciples to do, shake the dust off your feet. They don't receive it. But can you imagine? This man was so strong, they try and chain him, he break the chain. You might as well sing that song, I break every chain, break every chain. But he was not impressed by any of that. Why? Because his father had already told him what he was to do, and he did that. It was finished. What do we really, when you think about it, what do we expect him to do? He gives us a word, and we think it's not working. What do you think he's going to say? Wait a minute, let me go back to hell for 3 days. Let me go back to the cross. Maybe it didn't take the first time. No, you're focusing on the facts, not faith. Let me show you something in Mark 5 about the woman with the issue of bad blood. I know we talk about that a lot, but there's a lot going on there. And it's one of those accounts, every time you read it, you see something different. Matthew 5, Passion Translation, beginning at verse 25. Now in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors. Yet in spite of spending all she had on their treatments, she was not getting better, but worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. What are the facts here? This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years going to any type of treatment she heard of, no matter what the cost to her was, because she's trying to reverse facts. Instead of getting better by spending all her money, Now she's broke and diseased. So she hears about Jesus, but there's still some facts there. She's not supposed to go out in public. If she does go out, she's supposed to scream out unclean so people can move away from her. If she doesn't do that, she's in danger of being stoned to death. So she says unclean, she's going to run into groups of people and say, don't come any closer. And they're going to prevent her from getting to Jesus. If she gets caught and killed, then of course, then she doesn't need the healing because she was killed. All these things probably going through. Think about if that's you. What are you thinking? For 12 years, you're going through this. But she heard about Jesus and her faith that if I can just get to him and touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She spoke those words to herself and she believed. And she didn't just go out because she had to go through a mob of people that were crowding Jesus. She had to push through a mob of people. She had to ignore all of those facts. And she got to touch the hem of his garment. I know I will be healed, was what she said. If only I could touch his clothes, I know I'll be healed. She kept saying it. And because she was saying it in faith, when the facts hurt her faith, facts had to get a step in and cleared the way so the power of God could flood in and affect the healing and the cure. When? Immediately. Verse 30, Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd, saying, who touched my clothes? His disciples said, what do you mean? Who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you. But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd looking for the one who had touched him for healing. Why? She's probably like a glow-in-the-dark type person where you just saw the power radiating out of her. When the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him trembling with fear and threw herself down at his feet saying, I was the one who touched you. And she told him her story of what had just happened. And Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Because you dared to believe, because you chose to disregard facts and go with faith, you received your healing. You received what was already in place for you. It just was uncovered by your faith. You know, like this, anybody ever see a Pez dispenser? When you move the head out of the way, what comes out? The candy. But if the head's in the way, you don't get the candy. You got to get your head out of the way and stop looking at facts. So you can get what's been promised. You got to get your head out of the way because your head will say, this doesn't make any sense. Faith says, I don't care whether it makes sense or not, it's so anyway. Because when her faith was speaking, all the facts surrounding her condition had to listen and obey. As soon as she touched it, they knew that we got to go. And she was gone. It was like she slides out and healing comes right in. Why? Because she hung her hat on faith, not facts. He said, because you dared to believe. And now, before he finishes speaking to this woman, some Jairus folks come up because Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because his daughter was dying. So he thought. They said, no need to come. She's dead. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just keep believing. And when he got to the house, they already had the professional mourners and some folks in place. Already happened. And he went up there and said, oh, she's going to rise again. And they laughed at him. He didn't have his feelings get hurt. They didn't want to let me do what God told me to do. I just want to do God's will, and they won't let me. He said, I'm not leaving her dead. As far as I'm concerned, she sleepeth. And so he put everybody out, except those that were in agreement with him. Took the little young lady's hand and said, wake up. She got up. I thought about something that I found interesting. In all those accounts, no one addressed symptoms. Why not? It didn't matter. Is that going to make you feel better? I don't know why this is happening to me. Will you feel better if you knew why? Think about that. Why is this happening? Well, it's happening because this. Oh, okay, thank you for telling me. You still have it. I don't care why something that's not supposed to be here shows up. I have one thought. You got to go. You got to go. Then there's no one to fold them, no one to hold them. You got to go. Period. And if your faith is at the place where you know your faith isn't circumstance driven, your faith, your confidence is based on who you are in Christ, you don't care why anything showed up. Someone break into my house, I don't care why they came. Why'd you choose me? I'm going to interview the robber. No, they have to go. And you have to tell them, go now in Jesus' name. And guess what it has to do? If you're in faith, guess what it will do? Leave. When? Now. You say something, leave now. Well, I want to take a bath first, get something to eat. There's a game on tonight. I don't have a TV at my place, so do all those things and I'll leave. No, you're going to leave. If you don't leave now, you're going to find out why God blessed me with size 16 shoes. And so I can say you got kicked out by the word, I'll write the scripture on the bottom of them. But folks, all these folks, the Apostle Paul, this always amazes me. They were on a ship. He's going to have to stand before Caesar. After that, he's going to lose his head. You would think he'd want the ship to wreck so he could get away. But he said to them, be of good cheer. An angel stood next to me. He said to me, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. Done. No matter what happens, it's not taking me out because I haven't stood before Caesar. He said, now listen, Paul. There's going to be a shipwreck, but I'm giving you everyone here so there will be no loss of life, just the ship. On that ship were people who were very good swimmers and people who couldn't even wade in the water. Nobody died. Nobody died. So now they survive the shipwreck and swimming to shore. Everybody's at shore. They're around the fire. A serpent comes out and latches on to Paul. And everyone said, yep, he's a bad guy. He got what he deserved. And they start watching. I don't know why people are so enamored with symptoms. They want to start watching. He's going to swell up. Looks like his arm is puffing up a little bit. You know? But what amazed me is Paul never asked for help, never addressed the snake. Never said, all he did was it bit him, he shook it off into the fire, and kept on doing what he was doing. Why? Well, he had said previously, sirs, I believe God. I believe it'll be exactly as he said. So he hadn't stood before Caesar yet when there was a shipwreck. When a snake bit him, he still hadn't been before Caesar. So why do I have to concern myself with the snake? That's the fact that I was bitten. The truth is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And he acted on that. Jumping back for a minute over to Abraham, because I never told you all of it. Facts were, Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Fact was, Abraham was already past the age. Abraham said, his attitude was, if God said it, I'm going to do what I have to do to make it come to pass. And he considered not her womb being dead or he being dead. His faith was so strong it could not be undermined by fact. And the fact was he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. We have to get to the point, folks, where we refuse to let facts undermine our faith. We have to know that when faith speaks, facts have to listen and obey. I'm just amazed when I read these accounts, like with Lazarus. Jesus never addressed the sickness that attacked Lazarus. Why? It didn't matter. All that mattered was he said, my friend Lazarus is asleep. Let's go. I'm going to wake him up. Didn't matter if he was tired because he was working too hard or all the breath left his body. He said, well, if he sleeps, he'll wake up. He'll be fine. And Jesus was like, Lazarus is dead. Okay? And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. I like to believe the Message Bible says, you're about to be given new grounds for believing. What new grounds? No matter what the facts are, what you say in faith will happen. But it was a fact that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. That was a fact. When you open it, they said, there's a stench. Because he'd been dead 4 days, the decomposing process had already begun. Jesus didn't curse decomposition. He didn't curse anything. All he said was, Lazarus, come forth. Why? He expected Lazarus to get up and walk out of that tomb. And so that faith flooded that tomb. And whatever conditions caused Lazarus to die had to leave. And life took back its place in Lazarus, and Lazarus came walking out, still wrapped. I like that he said, I'm getting out of here. They can unwrap me after. all these things have been modeled for us because God expects us to operate the same way. What's the difference between us and Paul? Nothing. What's the difference between us and Jesus? Nothing. What's the difference between us and the woman with the issue of blood? Nothing. What's the difference between us and Jairus, or Jairus, however you want to say his name? Nothing. Not a thing. If we deploy the same type of faith that they did, then we will experience the truth that when your faith is speaking, facts have to listen and obey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The thought came in later, but my spirit said, let him hear the message first. Some of you have been having some issues believing because you're focusing on fact, not faith. You need to stand to your feet. You know me, I'll get a chair and wait. Folks will still get baptized. You believe in God for your healing. You believe in God for finance. You believe in God for different things. You're believing. And you're not remembering that it's been done. So I'll wait. If it's one, it's one. Doesn't matter to me. And I don't get egg on my face if no one comes. My responsibility is to give the invitation because God said so. You have to decide whether you want it or not. If you're standing, come down here because you may be over the place. So I just need you to come here so we can be in the same place. I'm told when one comes and breaks the ice, and others will get up and come. Hi. You know. I don't know. I stopped asking God to show me who it is because I don't want to embarrass anyone. Just get up and go. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your position, in or outside the ministry. All that matters is that when you speak, you want facts to leave. And the things you've spoken in faith, you want those to come into your life. You want to receive them. But they've already come into your life, it's just crowded in there. And I'll tell you, the minute I said that, it felt like someone took a hot pin and just shoved it down my shoulder. My thought is, I ain't even gonna flinch. And while they're coming, let me just say this. This has been rolling around in me for months. My God, when do you want me to say something? Some of us here have issues, things going on with our children. And our attitude is, I'm believing God, I'm believing God, I'm believing God. We need to change what you're believing. You're believing that it's, are you believing that it's done? That it's done. I keep thinking about the man whose son was possessed by a demon. And he took his son to Jesus' disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything. Fortunately, he took them to Jesus. And Jesus called the demon out. He asked him, how long has he been in this condition since he was a child? So that's years. He wants his son healed. Took them to his disciples. They couldn't do it. He said, well, I'm going to the head guy. And Jesus called the demon out. And guess what it did? It came out. But before it came out, it made a fuss. Because he tried to get Jesus to change his belief. He wanted Jesus to say, oh, I may have to come back after I build myself up with this. No. Jesus called it out. It threw the kid around and then came out and left the boy looking like he was dead. Jesus just went and picked him up, came back to his father. The disciples said, how come we couldn't do that? And the Message Bible says, because you're not yet taking God seriously. I believe, but you're not taking God seriously. You mean to take him. It's not that you don't mean to. You're looking at facts. And you're letting the facts speak louder than God's word. You need to reverse that. Let the word play all day through your hearts, through your house, through your seeing, your thinking, your hearing. Read what the word says so that you have unshakable faith. So you don't bow or bend or waver or anything when the enemy comes. You stand strong knowing that the moment God said it, hallelujah, it was done. Hallelujah. Say, the moment God said it, it was done. Not correct English, but you need to start operating in the doneness of the Lord. It's done. Hallelujah. Parents, know that you have been equipped to face anything that comes against you or your children. You've been equipped. If you weren't equipped to do it, God wouldn't have given the child to you. And if you didn't give birth to that child, God knew before that child was formed in his mother's womb that you would have a big influence in their life. So guess what? You've still been equipped. The problem is you're looking at facts and not what God said. Now, my voice may change. I'm not mad at anybody. Just making a point here, because that's the stand we need to take. My father didn't say this. He said that, and I'm sticking with that. So this needs to go. No, let's change. It doesn't need to go. It goes. Could you go somebody say, you know, you need to leave. Yeah, well, I'm not ready yet. No, you go now. In Jesus' name, you go now, right now. Start thinking about, I want you to think about facts. I want you to stand here and think about what Jesus said concerning those facts. Because you got to get in the habit of rehearsing what your father has said. Because as Mary found out when she spoke to Gabriel, Gabriel told her, no word from God is without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word. No word. There isn't anything out there that can trump God. I don't care how it presents itself. Jesus is the name above every name. And as the psalmist wrote, and we will declare it. We will declare it. It's the name above all names. And it was given, that name was given to you. He said, in my name, you can do these things. In his name. Forget about the facts. Go with the word. Because when you speak the word in faith, facts shrivel up and leave. I know it may seem like a little thing, but the day after when I came out from surgery, they wheeled me into rehab, took me by a table, and stopped. And I said, what are we doing here? But the table had these handles on it like they do in arm wrestling so you can brace yourself. And the first thing they said to me, well, no one's ever done it. And so, you know, his thought is, well, why are you stopping here then? We want to see if you can, no one's ever done it, but we want to see if you can do it. And they wanted me to grab the handles and pull myself up out of the wheelchair. I tried 3 times, I couldn't do it. And I'm getting mad. Because my attitude is, I should be able to do this. I didn't care that no one else done it. And they tapped me, it's okay, Pastor Carr. And they rolled me into the room. No, but no, it's okay, it's fine. And I'm mad. All the way back through the session, all the way back, I'm like, Father, you said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm pulling myself up out of this chair. So the next morning, they're taking me into the gym, and they roll right past the table. And I said, wait. What's the matter? I said, won't we stop at the table? He said, no, you're not ready for that yet. I said, we need to stop at the table. It has to be conquered. That's what I said. The table needs to be conquered. I grabbed it, pulled, nothing. Like I was nailed to the chair. The third time, I'm like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And pull myself up. The technician was like, mouth dropped open, took steps back. I said, now we can go into the gym. She went in there and said, Pastor Carr pulled himself up out of the chair. He's like, no. I said, you want to see it again? Facts say you shouldn't be able to do that. Now, you don't be stupid. You know, I was moved by God. He was showing me something. He was letting me know it's okay. But I didn't get out and say, I want to go and drive my car. The point is, stop letting facts limit you and what you do and what you say. Stop letting facts do that.